You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Yesterday, the debate in the Privileges Committee regarding the suspension of Te Pāti Māori MPs Hana Rāwhiti Maipi Clark, Debbie Ngāre Wāpeka and Rāwiri Waititi was adjourned until the upcoming budget announcement. The Privileges Committee report and recommended punishments for the three Te Pāti Māori MPs were issued last week for the haka they performed during a parliamentary session in November last year in opposition to the ACT Party's Treaty Principles Bill. In that same week, the Green Party recently issued a call to the government to scrap the Regulatory Standards Bill after the Waitangi Tribunal found it to breach the Crown's Te Tiriti or Waitangi obligations. And the government recently passed the Social Security Amendment Bill, which the government says would support people into employment and get them off the benefit. However, opponents of the bill have said that it could harm beneficiaries and lower-income New Zealanders. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, we spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March for his take on all of these issues. To begin, what is the Green Party's take on the proposed suspension of the three Te Pāti Māori MPs?
Oh, it's outrageous, completely unwarranted, and it's a precedent, basically, that means that future committees could then start suspending members for, you know, any breaches of standing orders. I think what is really clear is the performative outrage of the government members who seem to be, you know, fanning the flames of racism with their comments and misunderstanding of the haka. And this is why we were the first party to put a differing view opposing the recommendations from the government members.
So what do you think would have been an appropriate response to the protest by the Te Pāti Māori MPs instead?
Well, we've got to put it in the context of, for example, we've had members who've gone to the side of the chamber and intimidated people. We've had people who've stood up over others in select committee hearings and prevented MPs from leaving. And they've only had gotten away with basically a telling off. I think there's also the fact that the speaker did ask for an MP to investigate and form a committee to incorporate tikanga in the House. I think that work should have happened first before we evaluated what happened with Te Pāti Māori. And we also got to put it in the context of the fact that the haka is celebrated actually outside of the four walls of Parliament and is not often deemed intimidatory but as enhancing debate. And I think it's just ignorant of those government MPs to be treating what happened as intimidating.
Do you think that the decision to suspend the MPs was politically motivated and possibly undemocratic?
I mean, everything is political, right? But I think it was definitely undemocratic, stripping the voters of three electorates from having representation in the House. You know, what happened yesterday with the adjournment of the debate, I think, was, again, a performance because they knew from the get-go when they chose those punishments that those MPs would be missing, for example, participating in one of the most important events of the year, which is Budget Day, and they only chose last minute to adjourn the debate. And I think this just shows that the government members are utilizing the Privileges Committee processes and the report for political point scoring, and then also turn around and do performative outrage in the media, pretending that, you know, this is the worst kind of behavior they've ever seen, when we clearly have way worse examples, and people like the Deputy Prime Minister misbehaving and breaking the rules on the daily.
So what steps will the Greens be taking to oppose the suspension of the MPs from Te Pāti Māori?
We had an amendment already ready to be put at the debate yesterday to basically change the suspension and lower the punishment as much as we could to a censure. This would mean that those MPs wouldn't be losing the salary, the voters would have representation in the House, and then we could move on to discuss the issues that matter. You know, the Prime Minister actually keeps talking about how he thinks this is a distraction and he wants to be talking about the cost of living, and that would only be true if it wasn't for the fact the government is making the cost of living worse by basically every action they're taking.
All right, moving on to the next topic. The Green Party recently issued a call to the government to scrap the Regulatory Standards Bill after the Waitangi Tribunal found it to be in breach of the Crown's Te Tiriti or Waitangi obligations. The bill, which is part of National and ACT's coalition agreement, aims to change the quality of regulation and introduce lawmaking principles that all legislation would need to be measured against. However, the Waitangi Tribunal has recommended the Crown pause the bill's advancement to allow for meaningful consultation with Māori. So can you tell us about why the Greens want the Regulatory Standards Bill to be scrapped?
Yeah, the Regulatory Standards Bill effectively proposes a framework that then primary and secondary legislation would be measured against, and it basically entrenches values held by the ACT Party that would end up benefiting the wealthy few, that would end up benefiting the status quo and entrench a lot of the problematic stuff that we have. And it also omits Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and by omission, basically, that allows the government to trample all over it. I think also what was clear in the submissions is that there was no support for it, and this should give the government some pause and reflection around whether they are even in line with what the public wants them to focus on.
Can you tell us about how this bill could undermine Te Tiriti and its principles?
Well, by nature of entrenching the values that the ACT Party holds into basically how legislation should be constructed, it ends up trampling over Te Tiriti because it prioritizes a set of values over our foundational document. And so this in and of itself risks creating the conditions for the rights of Māori to be continuously deprioritized and trampled upon. This should be of concern for people because Te Tiriti is a document that actually protects us against big corporates taking over and trampling over the natural environment and our communities.
And as you mentioned, it also poses a threat to the environment and conservation efforts. Can you tell us about how this bill poses a threat in those areas as well?
The way that the values framework is proposed, in the same way we've seen, how with the fast track legislation, a set of values have been put in place to prioritize short-term economic gains over them, the protection of the environment. We're seeing that as well in this bill. By nature of the values that are being highlighted and are being championed, and we see an omission of the protection and the well-being of the natural environment, as well as stability, as well as addressing inequality and poverty when it comes to the framework that the ACT Party wants to use to then measure future legislation and existing legislation against.
So do you think that this bill is basically just a rehashed version of the Treaty Principles Bill?
Well, it's different, but the values are the same, which is to completely undermine our foundational document, to give way for corporates to take more and more land and more resources at the expense of everyday people, with those profits then being held by a few individuals and often being taken offshore. And this is why we shouldn't be supporting it. It's a complete waste of everyone's time except for those wealthy few people that benefit from it when we've got growing homelessness, more of our natural environment being put at risk of harm, and everyday people feeling the pinch and struggling to access basic services.
All right, now moving on to the last topic. The government recently passed the Social Security Amendment Bill. The bill proposes a number of amendments to the Social Security Act of 2018 and Social Security Regulations Act, which the government says would support people into employment and get them off the benefit. However, opponents of the bill have said that it could harm beneficiaries and lower-income New Zealanders. So can you please tell us about what your opinions are on the Social Security Amendment Bill and what its potential impacts are as well?
Yeah, the government's basically been lying to the public, saying that they're introducing these so-called non-financial sanctions, including, for example, one like compulsory money management. But it means that a beneficiary's income will be put in, half of it will be put into a payment card that won't be able to be used to pay for things like rents and bills. The problem with this piece of legislation and calling it non-financial is that not only will then a beneficiary on compulsory money management not be able to afford their rent, because most beneficiaries pay over 50% of their income on rent, but they also won't be able to access a bunch of financial assistance from work and income, stripping them of the means to survive. So the government has completely misled the public by saying they're introducing these non-financial sanctions when they will effectively do the same, which is prevent people from being able to feed their children, from keeping a roof over their head. And this is a bill that will only increase homelessness and will do nothing, because there's no evidence for it, to create jobs.
And how about the aspect of community work experience included in the bill? Do you think that will help those who are on the benefit?
Well, community work experience is a nice name, but basically in practice, it's forced labor. And even the volunteering organizations that are supposed to then be taking on beneficiaries, who then will be sanctioned, won't be able to access financial assistance from Work and Income, for example, in the form of hardship grants. Those volunteer organizations, the feedback they gave us was not positive. Many of them talked about how they were already struggling because the government has under-resourced a lot of the community organizations. And now they're expected to take sanctioned beneficiaries who are effectively doing forced labor, track the number of hours you're doing, you know, report back to Work and Income, et cetera. This is a really grim piece of legislation that only punches down on those who need support.
And what would be a better way to get Kiwis off the benefit and back into work?
Well, I think the premise of the question is part of the issue, right, is that it inherently assumes that people on the benefit are doing something wrong. And in many cases, we've got disabled people, we've got caregivers who are prioritizing look after the children. And the challenge that we have as well is that there are simply not enough jobs for every single person on the benefit. Unemployment is baked into the system. So what the Greens would do is get rid of sanctions because there's absolutely no evidence that they work. There's been no research to strongly back the use of sanctions as a measure to get people into employment, lift benefit levels above the poverty line so people are not struggling, and then have a Green Jobs Guarantee and a Ministry of Green Work to actually create tens of thousands of jobs to then create the opportunities for people on the benefit to have jobs that meet their aspirations and their skills.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to us about the suspension of three Te Pāti Māori MPs, the Waitangi Tribunal's recommendation to halt the Regulatory Standards Bill, and the impact of the Social Security Amendment Bill on beneficiaries.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.